Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And I am Matt Emmert, and we are back to our usual movie reviews, Tim, right?
What a week, right?
I know. I mean, I feel like I'm still riding on the high of that interview with Kim Beck.
Me too. Kimberly Beck Clark exceeded my expectations times a million.
Really? Like, and this is no joke, people who are listening. After we had the interview with Kim Beck, I told Tim, I was like, I don't know how it can get better than this.
Remember, I said that? So let's just stop now while we're ahead.
We're never doing another interview.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
No, the cool thing is that since then, you know, we've had a lot of people, obviously, are very interested in Kimberly Beck Clark. And apparently, we found out after that she doesn't do that many interviews. So we were very lucky and fortunate to get her.
Yeah, I feel very lucky. It was like winning the lottery.
Exactly. And like, you know, one person specifically, I just really want to call out who helped us specifically in relation to Kimberly Beck Clark. His name is Bobby Heckman, and he runs the Kimberly Beck fan page on Facebook. And just definitely need to give a shout out to this guy because he helped us by, he posted it on her fan page and a couple other pages.
He listened to the actual podcast?
Yes, it was very complimentary and just like really great guy. And just want to give a shout out also to, he is working on a fan film in honor of the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th. It's going to be filming next year called Victim No More. So if anybody is interested, there's a Facebook page, Victim No More. There's also an Instagram page. It's VNM, Victim No More, the initials, _2020. You can follow about it. But I mean, look, if you love Friday the 13th.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. It's going to be cool. It's going to be an anniversary of the film. I don't know a lot about it other than the details on the page, but it looks super exciting for anyone who's a fan.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. And we have one other big announcement. Tim, are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready. Bring it.
We just were added to a brand new streaming platform called Happy TV.
No correlation with Happy Horror Time.
But it also, it's like a perfect tie-in. And it's, just so you know, HAPPI TV, Happy with an I. And they are a brand new streaming app and website that is dedicated to content exclusively for the LGBTQ community. In fact, like they, not only is all the content on their platform related to the community, but they try to put an emphasis on content that was created by members of the community. So, and they just launched, I think, a week ago or so, but they have mostly, you know, feature films, mostly content you can see,
yes,
but
I know one of them, I was on it yesterday, and they have, like, Justin Root, and I highly recommend Justin Root because he gets some really good guests, but he does the extra mile and does it on YouTube, so it's a visual medium.
Yes, so they have a lot of visual medium, but they added, they're going to be having like a podcast section, and they just added Happy Horror Time to their streaming platform. Now, biggest thing to note, it is completely free. You can download it on any device.
iPads.
Well, I just got it on my Roku TV. You just sign up with your email address and then you can check out all the content. So if you are either a part of the LGBTQ community, interested in content related to that,
You don't even have to be gay.
No, of course not. I mean, it's just like if you're in, it's just, you know, but having a platform dedicated to the community, that's really cool.
I totally agree. And I mean, since I'm straight, you know, maybe I'll tell my wife and kids.
Of course, 100%. No, but I mean, it's like, it is cool. And we are very honored to be a part of this.
Much.
So please, I mean, you can still check out Happy Horror Time on the other platforms we're on. But now you can find us on Happy TV. And I urge everyone to go out and
check it out on Happy TV.
Yes, HAPPI TV. And I think those are, wow, that's like the announcement section of the podcast, Tim.
Now that we're done with all that
work. God, I know. So let's talk about movies.
I have never seen one. What are they like?
I know. And horror movies. So here's the thing, guys. We just got over Halloween.
The election.
Oh, God. Talk about horror. Anyway,
let's talk about our political
thing. I know. Let's talk about politics, everybody. No.
Who even ran? It's like a football game. I don't know.
I didn't even vote. It's the Super Bowl. Oh, God. He's kidding.
I'm kidding. I totally
Everybody agree. Exercise your right to vote. Yeah. Anyway. Unless
and exercise.
And exercise, especially during the pandemic. Okay. So the first film we're going to talk about, it came out a couple weeks ago, but it came out right before Halloween. Tim, you want to introduce it?
Yes. I actually know the date it came out.
Say it.
October 28th. So I don't know what everyone was doing that day. I didn't catch it on the first day.
It was, wait, was it October 28th? Yeah. I thought it was, it was, oh, it was.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was? No, only because I thought it was the 26th.
But I was really upset that it didn't get it. I mean, it's not like I can go to them. I mean, I can go to the movies.
You're totally right. I apologize for even considering. You know what? Sixes and eights look really close to each other for me.
69.
And when I was just going to say, damn it. When you put a six next to a nine, I don't know the difference.
You get filthy. You're gross.
Like, look, okay, 28th, yes.
Yes, it started October 28th on Video On Demand, which I understand. We're in a pandemic. We can't go to the movies. But I would have liked to have seen this movie in the theater. And actually was, I say this every time, it was beautifully shot. It was beautifully shot, and the score was good, and the music was good.
Oh, just jumping it. Like, you know. So here's the thing. So for people who don't know, I think people who like horror know that there was a movie called The Craft. Little movie.
Back in 1996. Can you name all four ladies?
Neve Campbell, Robin Tooney, Fairuza Balk, and Rachel True.
Wow.
Oh! You know what? I actually really didn't know. As I was saying it, I was like, I may not know everyone's name, but then I knew it.
Do you remember a girl in it that was also in the Brady Bunch?
Christine Taylor.
Married to
Ben Stiller. Wow, this is like trivia hour. And don't forget Skeet Ulrich was also in it. This is Skeet and Neve.
Oh, and
were
it,
together before Scream.
And the guy from Clueless and Freddy's Dead. What's his name? Breckenmeyer?
Oh, Breckenmeyer. Yeah. Was he in The Craft?
He's in it, right?
Oh. I guess.
You know what?
Yes, he was. Us. He's a dick. They're all making fun of everyone. Yeah. Anyway, forget about that movie. I love that movie.
I love that movie. But okay, so that's, I love the 19, thanks for coughing on
sorry.
Me.
whoa. Okay. Masks.
Okay. The 1996 Craft came out. So I thought it was going to be a full blown remake, but it's called Craft Legacy, and it's, I can't say it's a reboot. It's not a reimagining. It's a sequel.
It's a sequel. I mean, well, I think you can use the word reboot if it's like taking an old series and like resurging it, like breathing new life into it. So meaning like the Halloween sequel was also considered a reboot. So, like, I think you can call it a reboot. And, and even, look, Wikipedia calls it a reboot. Thanks, Wikipedia.
It's a slash sequel.
Yeah, I guess it is. Well, reboot slash sequel. Yeah, anyway. But here, so let's just say, okay, so I guess to start about it, obviously, they have a bunch of things that are similar to the original Craft. There's four girls.
Four girls.
They didn't change that.
Well, there's three girls at the high school, and they threw you right into it. They're like, we're witches. We're looking for the fourth.
Well, I will say when it started, yeah, you're right. It started, and like, okay, that was another thing. It starts, the three girls, I think they're trying to like stop time and they can't, and they realize they need a fourth. And then there's the new girl coming into town, and
Lily.
Her name's Lily, and she's played by Kaylee Spaney. Which I probably mispronounced.
At first I was like, ooh, that haircut's gonna annoy me. I was like, this is really going to take me out of the movie with that short boy haircut.
You know what?
I'm trying to be close-minded, but
that
then I loved her.
You know what?
This is just Tim.
We have a nickname for Tim. It's Conservative Connie.
I know.
I feel like that comment on the haircut is something my mom would have said, but
she pulled it off because she was such a likable actress.
She's very cute.
She's so cute. And, you know, I just was like, I thought it was going to distract me, and it maybe distracted me for 1 second.
So her mom is played by Michelle Monaghan,
which
we've all noticed. And so just to give you a little bit of plot, when it's first starting, I was like, oh my God, it is redoing The Craft, because she's the new student who just moved there.
She moved in with her, in the original, Robin Tunney moved in with her dad.
Yes, and now she, in this one, Lily, the main girl, is going with her mom to move in with her mom's new boyfriend. The boyfriend is played by David Duchovny,
Why Won't You Love Me?
X-Files.
No one cares about the X-Files.
No one knew about that. David Duchovny, good to see him working.
Yeah,
you know,
did you know that he was a sex addict?
I think I did, because doesn't he play that in Californication?
I've never watched one episode of Californication.
I didn't, but I remember it was like art imitating life.
But I just love that someone was a sex addict. What a fun addict to be.
I mean, it sounds fun, but I think when you're addicted to anything, it's not so fun. You know, it's almost like if I'm addicted to pizza, there's going to be some bad repercussions.
You'd be fat.
Well, yes, I would probably be very, if that's the only nutrition I got, I can't believe we're talking about it. Anyway.
She moves in with a sex addict.
No, well, her boyfriend's David Duchovny. This is amazing. And he has three boys. So obviously, a new dynamic. So she has to move into a new house with a new stepfather. Well, not they're not married, but a new step boyfriend father and three like step brothers.
Oh, and Michelle, I love Michelle Monaghan. So when I thought that was such a such a get for this movie, because no one else in this movie is a star.
The four girls are I think, relatively unknown. Although one thing I want to call out, which is really great for the community, is that one of the girls is a transgender actress playing a transgender girl.
She's one of the witches.
Yes, one of the witches, one of the main girls. And her name,
Zoe Luna.
Yes, as Lourdes. And it's just great, you know, for representation purposes. It's just great that we're putting more transgender actresses.
It wasn't even like focused on like as a plot. It was just mentioned, which was nice.
Again, and also another thing I really loved is that no one, girls as witches were made fun of, but the transgender girl was never made fun of for being transgender. Like, that wasn't even an issue. It was just one thing she mentions, and that's it. So it's good. Right. Like, I hand it to the director and the writer, but
a step in the right direction.
Exactly. Like, it shouldn't be a big deal, but
still prejudiced against witches.
Witches, exactly. And let's get rid of that. Anyway, so the girl goes to school and like there's a weird thing. So she like has her period in class. Ooh, which
that scene.
Random thing to write into a movie. And so everyone's making fun of her.
It was kind of like a Carrie scene to catapult the girls to bond.
Exactly. That brings her in the circle of the witches because they all love periods.
The way it was filmed and everything, I was like, okay,
it was embarrassing, and I think, you know, I mean, but so was, I'm sure, in Carrie when they're throwing
it was
tampons
not embarrassing
and saying,
for her at all.
Plug it up.
It was
nude.
Just a regular day at school.
At least she is in class, and she, like, bleeds through her shorts, I think.
It was jeans.
But there's this one guy, the main bully, his name is Timmy, because all people named Tim
are assholes.
And bullies. And he's, like, the worst of them. But anyway, so she connects with the witches, and this is where I thought the movie took a turn for the ridiculous. Immediately when she joins the coven of the witches and therefore they literally can do everything. They can. It wasn't like in the original craft when they're just trying different things. They can stop time.
It was spread out without the. It almost felt like two different movies.
No learning curve. No learning curve. They're literally expert witches first day.
They're like we've got the girls, and it was the first 45 minutes was like. I would say even maybe the first half hour was like, here's the witches. We found the fourth. Da, 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 da.
But didn't you feel like the first 45 minutes were like, okay, this is kind of like a repeat of the craft. Right. And we'll get to where it completely is nothing like the other.
Right.
But the first 45 minutes, it felt like that. Then, like I said, she joins the witches and they're doing things. Immediately, they're experts, which I'm wondering if teenagers are going to watch this and be like, hey, I just need like three friends and then we can stop time.
Right. No, I know. They didn't have any of that like... Like, because the first one, they were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We've got these skills. Like, do we abuse our power?
Yeah,
like,
and Robin Tunney was really the only one who had...
She was reluctant.
But she also was the only one who really had the power. The other ones were kind of like, they didn't have much power.
No,
but
they
like,
didn't have power without her.
Exactly. But anyway, so I'm sure, Tim, you were, when you're watching this, just waiting for, okay, what's going to happen in the dynamic of the four girls? Because I'm like, it's got to be just like Kraft, where there's going to be the evil one goes against it. But no. This movie did not go in that direction.
You only know about Michelle Monaghan as the other three girls. We don't know if they have parents. We don't know nothing about them.
Nothing.
I mean, so they only concentrate on one girl, Lily. She's interesting enough. I mean, the family dynamic.
And the family dynamic, I think, makes it at least interesting.
But I wouldn't have minded knowing what the other three girls were up to.
Well, so the first thing they do is they put a spell on, like, asshole Timmy to make him more, like, I would say...
Sensitive?
Woke.
Yeah, it was woke.
Because I love the word woke. I actually do. But, like, suddenly, then he's, like, very... The next day at school, he's very sensitive to their issues. At a party, he's talking about, like, all these feminist values, and his friends are like, what the fuck? And he's very woke, and the girls are like, ah, ha, 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 ha. So... Then we get to where it takes a little bit of a curve.
Then the girls have Timmy over to do a project, and they're sitting in a circle. I'm sorry, I'm so popular.
Oh, my God. What? and it's like, your delivery is on time.
Oh, yeah. So Timmy is sitting with the girls, and they're sitting in a circle, and are we going there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay. So he confesses that he hooked up with the new girls.
Lily's.
Lily's
One of Lily's stepbrothers.
Which, by the way, they don't really focus on the three brothers. They're like, they could have been day players for all we
know. So I've got to say, as much as I love a good, like, gay slash bi storyline, this was so out of left field. Like, this, you think he's this, like asshole, like, bully, and then he admits to them. He's best friends with one of Lily's stepbrothers, and he admits that he had sex with Lily's other stepbrother, the oldest one, and didn't want to tell the other stepbrother, who's his best friend, because thinks he'll be disowned. And they're like, oh, okay. Like, it was just such a random, like, curveball. And again, like, representation's good. And it felt sort of forced. And also, he never was playing his character like there was some secret. I guess you could say bullies always
But then, okay, so then, I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead, but then, like, he kisses Lily.
Well, you skip one thing. Okay, this is where, again, it kind of goes off the rails. Because I don't know about you, but if I were a girl and if a guy admits to me that he's bisexual, I don't think the first thing I would think is, now let me put a love spell on it. Like, I feel like it was just weird. But she puts a love spell on him, and then he comes to kiss her. So I was like, okay, at least he never said he was gay, so it's not like she's trying to change him. But didn't it feel awkward? It's like he admits he had sex with a man, then she's like, oh, I'm going to get this guy.
Right, she's like, oh my gosh, he's so sensitive. I'm even more into him.
I'm even more into him. But the thing is, the way he admitted it, it's like he could have been gay. I don't know if he said he was bi.
Well,
you like him under the spell of being woke and sensitive. Right. Did you like him as an asshole bully?
Yes.
Yes, because his name's Timmy. Yeah. No, he definitely, obviously, was a much better person. But so yeah, and then she kisses him.
Right, and you know, I will say that scene, like, I thought...
Made you hot.
Yeah, I got hot. Well, first off, I had to watch it alone. You know,
oh,
I mean?
In my
bedroom, I was like... Oh, everyone else is watching this with their friends, but pandemics keep me by myself.
And you were like, oh my God, I need to share in the craft legacy.
Right. So, I'm thinking, if I would have watched it with friends, would I have made fun of it? Or would I, like...
Well, I watched it the night before Halloween with my boyfriend and two friends.
We're popular.
Like, two friends. So fun. We were all making fun of it during it. Like I said, the first 45 minutes, we were kind of like, okay, if this is a retelling of the craft, it's fine. And then, like I said, but here's the thing. So, again, after she kisses him, then suddenly the next day at school, they find out that Timmy committed suicide.
Which that's a weird direction to go in.
It was, because she is wondering, wait, he kissed me. He was all happy. He was under the love spell. How can that be? As audience members, we're wondering, wait, did he have guilt for, like, telling that he had a same-sex experience? Because that's not a good look for this movie.
No,
and, like, there's a million unanswered questions when they went in that direction.
The movie has some loopholes. And, you know, I'm trying to think, like, back in 1996 when I saw the original Craft, I was a senior in high school. If I would have saw, like, and I wasn't out yet. So if I would have saw that on the big screen and was like, oh, this guy that just came out, also named Timmy, killed himself.
I know.
I would be like, okay, am I ever going to come out?
Luckily, though, when it takes another turn, you find out, well, before I say what you find out, what really happened. So the girls, they're all feeling like, oh my God, we were messing with him. Maybe it was our spells. And then they do kind of a callback to the original. They do it. They all bind themselves from putting any spells on anybody because they think that they're causing harm. But it wasn't. Like, but they all do it together. So were you thinking, Tim, as you were watching, like, one of the girls going to be at odds with each other?
Right. Like, because I love
just so you know, viewers, they never are.
No, they're, well, the, no, they kind of turn on Lily because they're like, oh my God, you kissed him.
But not in the way of, like, the original Craft. There's no, like, this movie is totally different.
One of the girls
totally
says, like, we need to cool it.
Yeah, harsh words.
I know, she goes, you know what? We need to cool it.
Well, so they bind themselves from doing harm and all of that. And then, like, talk about another plot. Again, when they were writing this, it must have been, like, curveball after curveball. Lily goes home and finds some, like, paperwork saying that she was adopted and her mom's not her real mom.
That actually was a really good scene because as someone who loves soaps, I thought the scene between her and her mom was really effective.
True, as a scene. But when you're watching this movie, all flowing together, remember, you first have four witches getting to know their powers. Random bully / undercover bisexual who then kills himself. Then random I'm adopted plot point. Literally, it was three movies in one. Do you agree with that?
No, because I felt like it wasn't. Timmy had a bigger part than the three witches.
Other
combined.
Witches. But then again, forget about Timmy. Now on to the adoption.
Can't forget about him.
So, but there was a good scene, and she finds out that her mom actually adopted the baby of a mental patient. And you're like, I know, again, this is going in all the different directions. But then, do you remember the scene where the mom is trying to get her to, like, stop practicing witchcraft? But then the mom, it's actually, she finds out it's David Duchovny, who's a warlock and a shapeshifter.
Yeah, so we might as well just be watching an episode of Charmed.
But don't you feel, or X-Files, but don't you feel like, and if you're listening to this and haven't seen the movie, if you're thinking this sounds crazy, it's because it was.
And, like, here's the thing, like, you don't ever get the scene... The scene I was waiting for throughout the entire film was the confrontation between...
The witches?
The witches and David Duchovny have the big confrontation, but you don't have the scene between Michelle Monaghan, her mother, and David Duchovny.
No, she, after you like, find out she... I mean, you have the scene where you think it's her, and then it's really David Duchovny. But anyway, to get to the end on this, because again, there's so many different directions. Well, David Duchovny, like, doesn't he kidnap Lily, and then the girls all come
all
to help her?
Like, take him on.
They all put their witchcraft together to take him on, because again, they find out he, and didn't it feel almost like a male versus female movie? Because he had his, like, warlock
But you
group.
Know what? It was better executed than Black Christmas, the remake.
Oh, 100 times.
And that was kind
of
going
I mean,
in the same
I think, like,
too.
You know, like, a YouTube video of someone taking out trash is better executed than that Black Christmas 2019 remake. I'm sorry. It just was horrible.
It's okay. I didn't make it.
You did.
Oh shit. Andrew Don't tell Timmy. Anyone. Oh,
no,
God.
But you're right. It wasn't as bad as that. But the witches all go together. And they, like, defeat David Duchovny, and they
you
don't they light
New
him on
Covney.
Fire. The David Duchovny, he's my new David Duchovny. But he don't they like set either like
yeah,
burn him at a stake?
Very
like, witch.
It's very like the end of Nightmare on Elm Street 3. It's just kind of like we're done.
Well, but don't they burn him? They burn him at the stake, like kind of thing. And yeah, and so. And then you're kind of left with, okay, what's going to happen to all the stepbrothers, like the boys? Because I don't think Michelle Monaghan and
all of a sudden you
Lily
see
are going to want to have take them.
No, they're no.
So they're going to be in foster care, thanks.
But those three brothers were so not involved.
Literally, the one who was Timmy's best friend had the most, and then there was the one who literally, I only remember that he was the one who had sex with
they
Timmy.
They literally gave the witches and the brothers nothing to do.
And that's the thing, because again, if you're coming into this thinking this is going to be like the original craft with four witches who then turn on each other, no. The four witches are on the same side, I'd say, the whole time. The villain is David
Duchovny.
Well,
there's a little bit
of tension, but not like Fairuza Balk saying, like, kill yourself. Remember that scene in, oh God.
The bugs.
I mean, all in all, I feel like I'm always more brutal on
it.
Like, I don't think I would recommend this movie. I'm sorry.
Really? We're
I
not even going to give away the ending?
I thought that was the end. Oh, no. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I was like,
of course.
Okay, we have to give away the ending.
Oh my God. That's the best part of the movie. Yeah.
And it's, here's the, okay. So remember that she found, like, she's like, oh my God, I'm adopted. So you find out her mother is Fairuza Balk.
She goes after, I totally forgot about that.
You mean the best part
Yes,
of the movie?
I know. And the truth is, I remember after I watch it, literally saying, guys, like, that was the only scene that I'm so excited about. So anybody
they
who loves the nostalgia.
Nothing to do.
So right after they defeat David Duchovny, Lily goes to the mental institution.
She opens
because,
the door.
And at that point, I kind of was figuring, oh, it's Fairuza Balk, but I'm like, did they get her? Is she going to be in there? Are they going to just see, like, her name? But
They
got her for probably one day. You see her. She
one
just
day,
looks.
1 hour.
1 hour. She looks up at Lily, and what does she say?
Well, nothing. I don't think they gave her a line.
I thought she said one thing, but she looks up, and you see it's Fairuza Balk, and then just flashes the credits. So, again, they're probably trying to start a new
legacy
with this. But if you're wanting to watch this for nostalgia, literally you could fast forward to the last 20 seconds because that's the only real nostalgia from it.
I know you didn't dig it. I think because the pandemic, I don't know if I'm using the word thirsty right because I'm so woke. But
we're going to have to put a woke spell on you.
I was so thirsty for any kind of, I love soaps, I love teen movies, so I was totally into it. I liked it.
No, hey, look, we don't have to always have the same opinions. I hate
yes,
you.
Yes, we do.
I hate you.
I hate you.
I hate you. We're not friends anymore.
Oh,
no, I think that's good. I think that but it's two different perspectives. So people who are like, that may feel like you, that are into that type of stuff, probably won't enjoy it.
You know what? It goes down nice like a bubble bath.
I think me, like I said, if you're watching it more for nostalgic factors, there's not a lot of nostalgia to the end. If you're watching because you want like just a solid horror movie, I don't really think it's that either.
No, it's an episode of Charmed with new witches.
But an episode of Charmed that literally is three different plots put into one. Because we agree on that, right? There were three. It went in so many different directions. If you're looking for one coherent storyline, this is not the movie for you.
Yeah. You know, Rent... Top Gun.
That is definitely one coherent storyline. Yeah, and a lot of hot guys. But let's move on to the second movie, because if you want to talk about one very just like coherent storyline.
This has one storyline.
Yes, there's definitely no like
It does curves. Not stray.
It does not stray. So a movie that came out, I think it was on November, was it November 6th?
No, I think it was Halloween time, right? Well, it did come out on the 6th. You're right.
Oh, my birthday. Plug. It's just had just had a birthday.
I'm not contributing.
No big deal. It just had a birthday.
Because you're old.
It's called The Dark and the Wicked.
Yes.
And more of like an indie movie, didn't have like a big release, but I'm sure horror movie fans will know about it. The biggest thing is that it was directed by Brian Bertino, not Brian Boitano, Brian Bertino,
the ice skater?
Who did The Strangers. So right away I was like, oh my God, I loved The Strangers.
I do too. I like the sequel better.
I like the sequel too. Those are harsh words. Did he do? I don't think he did the sequel, but either way. Oh, yeah, November 6th. So, again, right away I knew, okay, this is going to be suspenseful. The trailer was fucking suspenseful, so you know. So, basically, just to give you a little bit about this, it's like, okay, imagine, first of all, from the beginning when you start the movie, the atmosphere is creepy as fuck. Like, right in the beginning, there's no holding up. It was very, almost like Hereditary in that it's just like right into it and it's just this unsettling atmosphere the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's these two, it's an old woman and her husband who's kind of on his deathbed, and her kids, a sister and brother, come to visit, and it's obvious they haven't seen their parents in a long time, right? That was the thing.
Yeah, I think the father was sick.
Father was, on his deathbed.
So they're coming to take care of him?
Well, I think they were going to help their mom.
It's a huge farm.
It's this huge farm. So here's the thing, just to give you, cinematically, you want to talk about your usual, like, beautifully shot, this, you've got to say that about this, don't you think?
I'm not going to say it.
No, it wasn't.
Well, you know, First off, of course it's beautiful, but is it a place I'd want to live? No.
No, not at all. But I guess in terms of creepiness, like the craft was like fun.
No, it was pop.
Like even the weather, it's like gray and gloomy. It's this huge farm, and you can already tell the mother, like, something is wrong with her. And like the brother and sister seem normal, but the mother seems, I don't know if she's suffering from creep, or she's just very weird. Something's off.
Yeah, she's weird, but they show you, she's standing at the sink, and all of a sudden this chair moves, and then you're like, okay, explained.
Yes.
Something's going on. So I did think that was eerie, but I wasn't like, oh my God.
This is definitely, I would say, a polar opposite from a jump scare movie. This is like build suspense as slowly as possible. It's not going to be, I ran into someone. Oh, scared.
Right. No, it's not that kind of movie at all. It's not a jump scare movie. It's the kind of movie that when you leave the theater and you go home and you go to bed,
you're going
to
be feeling unsettled. You're
like, when you turn off the light to go to bed, you're gonna like think twice.
Exactly. There's all throughout, there's shadows and everything. But anyway, to get to the big like plot point at the beginning, the mom like gets up in the middle of the night and she's like cutting carrots.
No,
this
I
was
think
such a weird.
That's not the first night.
Wasn't what happened the first night?
No, because the kids come and then she chops her fingers.
That's what I was. That was
okay.
Gonna say.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
She
okay.
starts chopping up some carrots, and you're okay. Anybody chopping something is uncomfortable because you
really
think,
close up,
really close up, and her fingers are getting closer and closer and closer. Then she goes and literally just starts chopping up her fingers like little pieces of hot dogs.
Now I know that like that's a scary moment. For some reason, that triggered me as funny.
It. It is very uncomfortable to watch. They build it and build it, so you're like,
yeah, it was totally
it
gross. It's gross, but for some reason it was funny. Just, I mean, an old lady chopping her hand is funny.
I mean, I guess when you think about it, it depends, like, yeah, of course. And now, like, thinking
but
about
I mean,
it, yeah.
But if, yeah, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
But I mean, yeah, so, and then the mom is obviously either something
losing
is... losing her mind or possessed her. She goes out to the farm or to the barn and hangs herself. And so the brother and sister have to find their mom. Like, literally, they just got home. Hey, we're here for a visit.
They're sleeping in, like, it's such a rundown cabin.
Everything is scary about this place, this farm, the atmosphere, acting, everything.
Did anyone in the movie have cell phones? I do not even remember.
I mean, I don't remember either, so I guess they could explain it like there's no service out there, but it felt like it could have been in any
decade.
Because
they used, it could have been in any decade. I think they did have cell phones.
Yes, because remember, she's trying to call the brother later.
That's right. Okay, yeah. But they do also use a wall phone inside the house.
That made me remember, weren't we like, because I watched this with you, right? Yeah. Didn't we, weren't we like, what decade is this? And we thought maybe it's earlier.
Because when you're in farmhouses can be in any decade.
And also, it wasn't like a phone, like a cordless phone or any new. It was old ass phone.
It could have been in the 70s, 80s, or 90s.
Yes, exactly. But I guess it was present day because they had their cell phones. But anyway, so of course, the brother and sister are all like messed up by this. And they're kind of like, well, now we have to take care of the dad who's on the deathbed, who's just literally laying unconscious.
Which, by the way, I don't think he says one line.
No, he doesn't. Zero. And they are, oh, Tim's popular, got another text.
Oh, it's, that's funny text. Okay, go ahead.
And this is where I don't remember every little detail or how it goes with every detail, which is funny because I saw this more recently than The Craft. But so obviously,
it's a slow burn.
And so many little things happen in this. First off, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, I recommend this for true horror lovers. I mean, if you want some sort of like big action-packed horror movie, this isn't it. But if you liked...
not action-packed.
Like if you liked movies like The Witch... or Hereditary, or
The Blair Witch Project.
Slow, yeah, maybe.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
What were other like slow burn?
Halloween.
It Comes at Night, the original Halloween. If you like that sort of just unsettling atmosphere movie, all the entire movie, then this is it.
The Shining.
Yes, exactly. It's very much in the vein of like those, and it's been rated really well on like Rotten Tomatoes and everything. But so the brother and sister, so they're trying to figure out what's going on, and like creepy stuff keeps happening. Creepy stuff. There's the priest in there. Doesn't he warn them about the parents felt alone?
Yes, and then okay. So if I remember correctly, the priest comes to the door. And then the next day, they come and he's like, I wasn't out there.
Yes, yes,
which
that does
that
help.
To me was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit. No priest. Yeah, and everything is creepy. But to jump to like, because there's so many little things, I can't remember every little thing, but to jump to then the big next action point when the brother finally leaves, which his family, they're the least loyal.
By the way, this is what you're saying. As a viewer, you're saying constantly, why are they not just both leaving and putting the father in the hospital?
Yes, exactly. I remember we were saying,
and the
because
doctors say you can't move him.
Creepy shit keeps happening at this farm, so they know something is wrong there. And it's not like the dad is conscious, so they could put him maybe in some sort of like a living assistance or some sort of. But apparently, like they're not supposed to move him, or something,
right?
But so the brother finally decides to. So the sister is not married, doesn't have a family. The brother does have a wife and three kids, and he decides he's just gonna leave, and he leaves without telling the sister, just leaves her there at this creepy farm with her unconscious father, just takes off. And the sister has like a breakdown that she's all alone.
Going back a little, before the brother leaves, the sister takes a shower. The dad is like, did this really happen or was it a dream?
I think it was a vision. You're right. That she sees the dad's like, she thinks she sees the dad's pasty body up out of bed, and a la Psycho,
just, like,
opening the curtain, and she like screams, but then she goes back and he was there in bed.
Right. So we don't know if it really happened or if it was her imagination or if it was a ghost. We don't know.
Everything is playing tricks with them. That's the whole point of this movie, that it's playing its mind games. But speaking of mind games, the brother gets home.
This is the best scene in the movie.
Yes, and it's creepy as fuck. The brother gets home to his home where he's expecting to see his wife and three kids, and he comes in and he sees them all dead. His three little girls, bloody, and
kids.
His wife dead. And he's just horrified and in grief. And in such grief, he takes a knife and he slits his own throat. And right when he does that, his wife walks through the door with the three girls. They were alive the whole time. That was all in his head. And they get there to see the husband bleeding out from his neck.
Right. Which is a very effective scene. So I guess what we're supposed to gather is, like, if you're at this farm, you are getting mind-effed.
I think it's either there's some sort of supernatural entity, some sort of demon or something that is playing with the mind and driving people crazy.
Is it The Dark and the Wicked?
It's dark and it's wicked.
And he brought it back.
I kind of like that it wasn't like one specific ghost or
It's almost like Final Destination. We didn't know what was...
It's something that is fucking with it. So the brother dies, a horrifying scene. The sister is like all alone at the place with the dad, and
the nurse is there.
Oh yes, there's a nurse who helps take care of the dad.
She knits.
Yes.
And, you know, she decides to take the needles to her face.
Yes. There's so many. That's the thing. And that's when it started to remind me a little bit of Bird Box, because I was like, okay, does this force cause people to kill themselves? Because it did. Didn't it feel a little Bird Boxy?
Yeah, but I miss Sandra Bullock.
No Sandra Bullock. No blindfold wicked. But yeah, the nurse, like,
but the nurse
very
also
gruesomely
attacks her, right?
Yes, that's the thing. Like, everyone in this movie, they lose their mind. Yeah. Like, that's the whole thing. And doesn't it end? I guess we can get to the ending.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I don't even remember specifically the very ending. I just know that the sister was stuck there, right? Because does she get killed? I can't remember. Oh my God. That's how incredible the ending was. No, but it ends, the nurse is dead, the brother's dead, and I think the dad ends up dying. Why can't we remember the ending?
I don't know.
Oh my God, well then we can leave it. We saw this like a week ago.
Maybe the movie affected us so much that we're dark and wicked.
We're dark and wicked. Well, here's the thing. Well, maybe this, for the first time ever, we won't spoil the actual ending. But the thing that's so funny. No, but the thing is, but you are right. This is a very effective movie. Very effective. Way more effective than The Craft.
I cannot believe I can't remember.
It is weird that we saw this a week ago. Is something like taking over our minds?
I think so.
It is weird because we love to tell everyone that we spoil everything. And today you guys have an extra treat because we spoiled everything but the very end. I think she's left in the house and she just kind of realizes that she's stuck there and can't leave. I feel like...
That's your remembrance. I remember her on the porch.
Yeah, I remember that. This is so funny. Whoa, okay, now we're losing our minds.
I remember her on the porch, and then there's some kind of disturbing ending, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do not remember if she lives or dies.
But it is true that there are so many disturbing parts of this. They do very well at, like, having... You have to be watching and really looking at every little shadow, every little movement.
Oh, okay, so there's one thing that I did not particularly like about this film.
Okay, what?
There is... she and the brother are looking at the sheep, and, like, apparently the devil or whatever's haunting everything eats all the sheep or bites into them. So they're surrounded by a bunch of dead sheep, but it's, like, digitalized.
Yes.
So I was like,
well, do you want them to kill? Do you want them to kill the sheep?
No, but you can, what's that called? You can just, it's called, what's the, not digital effects, but.
Practical effects?
Practical effects.
Or like something like that.
Fake animals dead. Like, it took me out of it so much that I was like, they just used digital.
Oh, I just looked up the ending online.
Refresh my memory.
She apologized to her wheezing father and now seems to be a few breaths away from dying and leaves. She falls down the stairs outside. When she hears him gasping and coughing, she can't bear to go. She goes back inside the house, tells her father she won't leave him. She hears the devil mimicking.
Oh, that's right. They don't even tell us the ending.
Oh, calling for help. Mimicking her brother's voice, calling her for help, shouts back at it in defiance. House creaks while Louise holds on to her father in his final moments. When he takes his last breath, she begs him not to leave her, and then she wails in sorrow. A moment later, she's distracted by her mother's voice singing in the other room. Just as she turns toward her father, devil grabs her and she screams.
They leave it up to interpretation.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So there it is. I love how we don't remember that. There were so many little things.
How are we supposed to remember an ending when there really wasn't an ending?
Well, but the thing is, a movie like this is never going to have a finite ending. Well, no, it's never going to have like a finite, decisive ending because it wouldn't be creepy if it's like, and they lived happily ever after.
She escaped, she got in her car, and she went and took care of her brother's kid.
Oh God, I know the brother scene is definitely a highlight. So is that cutting off the fingers scene.
Yeah, but. No, there's the movie definitely. It kind of reminded me of Midsommar. Like, I don't know if I'd want to revisit this movie again.
It's one of those that's because it's so.
And there's
effective.
No male nudity.
No,
so
there wasn't
it.
In The Craft either.
What was there?
No, just a bisexual kid who's Timmy. Really in his 20s. Yeah, but I will say I definitely recommend it. It's streaming right now. It's also at drive-thrus. I think seeing Dark and Wicked at drive-thru would be really cool,
you? You know what? I'm not going to knock drive-thrus because I want drive-thrus to succeed. But I'd rather watch it at home.
Yeah.
But I mean, don't get me wrong. When movie theaters are open, I'm going to the movie theater. Like, nothing is better than the movie theater. I much prefer a movie theater than to a drive-in.
I actually like drive-ins. I think it's like, of course, maybe if I had to only go to drive-ins for like the next few years, maybe I'd get tired of them. But I think because it's different.
Far away from where we live.
Yeah, I think I will say, but there are some that you can do like double features, and I think a double feature of The Dark and the Wicked with something like Top Gun would be great.
Top Gun 2.
Top Gun 2.
There is Top
Gun. Electric Bugaloo.
Top Gun 2 is supposed to come out this year.
Everything is
with
pushed
Jennifer
to
Connelly.
Next year, Tim. Everything
Jennifer
is pushed.
Connelly.
Is she in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's some other people in it that...
Val Kilmer's supposed to be coming back.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he'll be in like one scene. He'll be like, hey, I was in Top Gun.
What was his name in Top Gun? Ice?
I thought Ice. Goose died. His name was Ice.
Right. And he was Anthony Edwards, who was on ER, was George Clooney.
Oh my God. This is the weirdest way. Okay. I think this means that it is time to...
Get happy tour time.
Yes. So we will be back with more movie reviews, more horror celebrity interviews, everything. Yeah. So thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Have a great night, everyone.
Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Happy Horror Time. We're so grateful you've taken the time to listen, and we hope you'll stick with us and spread the word to your friends, because there are many upcoming horror movies we'll be discussing and tons of horror celeb interviews on the way.
We'd like to take a moment to ask our listeners to check out Happy TV, a brand new free streaming app and website with content dedicated exclusively to the LGBTQ+ community, with a special emphasis on content created by members of the community.
Not only does Happy TV include feature films, TV series, nonfiction, and short-form videos, but we are so proud to announce that they just added our podcast onto their streaming service. So in addition to the other platforms Happy Horror Time is currently on, you can now find us on Happy TV. That's Happy TV as one word, with happy spelled with an I, not a Y. You can download the app from any device, and it's completely free.
If you'd like to stay updated on our developments, please like and follow our Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to support Happy Horror Time, you can sign up at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. Patrons will get access to premium content like bonus episodes, additional audio, and more.
And if you'd like to contact us to recommend a new horror movie or a horror celeb you know that you'd like us to interview, just email happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.